Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
The Open Show, currently on display in Midland by Michael Bauer. Arts Council of Midland Executive Director Danny Holiva and Operations Coordinator Elaine Paulson both know that there's a lot of creativity in the Permian Basin. Their newest show has helped showcase some of the talented artists in the Odessa Midland area. The Open Show is currently on display until June 28th at the Arts Council of Midland, which is located at 1506 West Illinois Avenue. Earlier this year, Holiva and Paulson put out a call to local artists to submit their work. Danny saw that there was a need in the community for arts for an open call show, Paulson said. We hadn't had one in Midland in at least 10 years. So we put the call out on social media and started talking to our friends in the community and other artists, and we were pleased with the turnout. We have artists from all over the area and quite a few students, which is good to see that there's a lot out there. Just under 80 submissions were received, which impressed Holiva and Paulson. Artists are like everybody else, Holiva said. It seems like we do everything at the last second at times. It really picked up, and it was nice to see a variety of work and different subject matter. We had 2D and 3D and collage pieces. The artists ranged from ages 16 to 93. There were quite a few from Odessa and UTPB students, Paulson said. There was a young lady out of Fort Stockton. This show contains most visual art mediums, from painting to photography, prints, fiber art, collage, and drawing. It was very open as far as themes, Holiva said. You had to be 16 years of age, so this wasn't for children. However, we've thought about doing a children's event in the future. There's a wide variety of subject matter and different media that's going on. Awards were given out to the top eight. A Best in Show and First Place award were given out as well. Best in Show went to high schooler Sarah Kate Owens for her picture of Mary Beth. First Place went to Richard Acosta for his photo, Time Lapse Under West Texas Skies. Owens is an online high schooler, so she's a very self-directed young lady, Paulson said. These guys have the option of having a show together next year. The Arts Council of Midland currently is celebrating its 40th anniversary. We started as an organization that came out of a citywide study of Midland in the 1980s, Holiva said. It was recognized that an arts council would be a good thing for Midland. We built from there. We're a presenting and re-granting organization. What that means is we do programs like this. We have our sculpture garden and festival celebration, but we also re-grant dollars for the city of Midland through hotel, motel taxes, and we've been doing that for about 35 years. Later this summer, the Arts Council of Midland will be doing its Celebration of the Arts, which will take place from July 15th through the 17th at the Chaparral Center. For more information about the Arts Council of Midland, go to acmidland.org/theopenshow. If you go, the Open Show, now through June 28th, at the Arts Council of Midland, 1506 West Illinois Avenue, Midland. Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 21st. Letter to the Editor. MCS should value accountability. Ryan C. Adams writes, against the backdrop of a reputational crisis involving public arrests, Midland Christian School has been dealt a challenging reality in the recent months. The board has responded with official statements and supported certain provisional changes. Now, with a grand jury decision to not indict any of the arrestees, and the board framing the reported sexual assault as rumored, the perspective of key stakeholders has never been sharper. Yet one, arguably the one that should matter the most, remains tragically lost in the noise, that of students. Make no mistake, MCS will assuredly reiterate that its course of action is, by definition, with the best interest of students in mind. Their internal investigation findings seemingly support the notion that the arrested did no wrong, given the circumstances, suggesting to MCS is not interested in a serious conversation addressing SA. What's worse, employing insensitive rhetoric in official statements that diminishes the gravity of what has occurred and dismisses students' pain altogether is a calculus attuned to preserving an institutional reputation rather than meeting students in their hurt. The stated position of the board indicates loudly they find no complicity in their failure to foster a culture of upholding justice. Hours after the headlines broke, many alumni recounted similar instances from their years at MCS, united in their unsurprise. Current students have since disclosed that school leaders publicly dissuaded them from mentioning the events. Institutional silencing of those it intends to empower is not justice, it's oppression. And as countless individuals exhumed unimaginable pain in solidarity with that afflicting current students, MCS has done nothing but leverage its privilege and dismiss genuine accountability, a tale as old as time. Put simply, MCS should value accountability as a practice because it expects it of its students. Delegitimizing them through relegated silencing is antithetical to compassion and the very values MCS claims to revere. When the actors centered are backed by a board that decries horrific violation as hazing, not assault, whom are we led to believe? The gatekeepers of the narrative are those who will shoulder its consequences for years to come.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 21, 2022. Viewpoints. Education essential to upward mobility. One out of four adults in Midland County have literacy skills at third grade level or below. John Trishitti III, Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin. Today, the majority of the counties in the Permian Basin rank among the lowest literate and least educated in the United States. According to the National Center for Educational Statistics, both Texas and New Mexico rank in the bottom 25th percentile in literacy nationally, with several Permian Basin counties ranking near the bottom of state averages. Through the generous support of the Abel Hanger Foundation, FMH Foundation, Permian Strategic Partnership, and the Brown Family Foundation, the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, LCPB, was founded in 2021 to address the literacy challenges prevalent in the Permian Basin, which includes 19 counties in Texas and 3 in New Mexico, with the mission to increase the literacy levels and skills of all people in the Permian Basin, improving their quality of life. One challenge is that literacy is historically underfunded and under-researched in our part of the world, with no real data being available for adult and family literacy. To that end, the Literacy Coalition commissioned the American Institute of Research, AIR, to do a literacy needs assessment specifically for the Permian Basin region. The full LCPB Adult Literacy Needs Assessment, Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy National Action Plan, and Economic Impact Report are all available on the LCPB website for your review at literacypb.org. Perhaps the most important takeaway from this needs assessment is that adult learners, service providers, educators, foundations, and public officials all share a vision of individuals and families having the knowledge, skills, and resources that they need to thrive now and in the future. By working together and building on one another's strengths, The members of the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin are well positioned to help make this shared vision a reality. The Texas state average for the lowest literacy proficiency levels, approximately second, third grade, among the adult population ages 16 through 74 is 28%. Midland County's low literacy percentage comes at 26%. What this means on a practical level is, while slightly better than the state average, one out of four adults in Midland County have literacy skills at a third grade level or below. Also specific to Midland County, an estimated 28,700 adults have low literacy skills, again, reading at or below a third grade level. Yet it is estimated that only 1,200 individuals are currently participating in some form of adult education programming. Improving literacy rates would have a transformative economic impact on the Permian Basin and its residents. If the Permian Basin were able to match the current average literacy rates in Texas and New Mexico by 2040, the annual earnings gain would be approximately $353 million, with more than $242 million in new gross product each year and over 6,725 new jobs. A well-rounded education is the key to upward mobility. A study by the Pew Charitable Trust shows that for people starting at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, a college degree can quadruple their chances of making it to the top. There is a correlation between illiteracy and income, at least in individual economic terms, in that literacy and education has payoffs and is a worthwhile investment. As the literacy and education rate doubles, so doubles the per capita income. All of these factors do not even begin to scratch the surface of the social and cultural dynamics that have an impact on an individual reaching adulthood without adequate education or literacy skills. Many of the students that are underperforming in the school setting have outside factors at work that can make the learning experience all the more difficult. A one-parent household, little to no parental involvement, access to basic food and nutrition, inadequate books in the home, and lack of access to reliable internet to do schoolwork are only a fraction of the influences that can negatively impact learning and contribute to a child becoming a low literacy adult. We must begin to change the narrative when it comes to literacy and identify that it is not just an education issue, but a social issue as well. Literacy clearly matters to the region, its institutions, its people, and its future. The data in these assessments spans generations, and so too will the efforts to improve adult literacy rates in the Permian Basin. Our overwhelming impression from our conversations across the region is that leaders and the funding community have the will to embark on such an epic journey. The hope is that LCPB and this assessment will spark dialogue between stakeholders in your community and guide your first steps to join the coalition and help us tackle the pressing problem of literacy in our region. Midland, not Moscow. Texas's energy sector offers world an antidote to Putin's aggression. By Deborah Gordon and Jeremy Mazur. Commentary. Just as the Texas Revolution gave rise to the battle cry, remember the Alamo. Today's energy crisis gives rise to another. Midland, not Moscow. Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the subsequent international realignment of energy exports transformed a regional war into a global energy emergency. The world's safety and security are at stake. Texas is the new frontier for cleaner fossil fuel production and an expanded portfolio that includes breakthrough technologies such as carbon capture, hydrogen, and geothermal energy. Propelled by a substantial increase in production over the past decade in the Permian Basin and Eagle Ford Shale, the U.S. recently surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil producer. In 2020, the U.S. supplied nearly 1 in 5 barrels consumed worldwide, 50% more than Russia. This success story is not enough, however. Global markets need more energy, and consumers of every stripe want cleaner, affordable energy. Texas can help meet this growing demand, in part by leveraging newly available federal funds and innovations, especially since Russians are unlikely to play fair or clean. Texas should first use its existing oil and gas resources advantageously, producing oil with the lowest possible emissions and further differentiating our production from Russia's. By increasing efficiency and the use of renewable energy in the production process and leading the development of carbon capture technology and preventing methane leakage system-wide, Texas can reduce industry emissions by 40%. To achieve this goal, however, both industry and state regulators must identify ways to certify cleaner hydrocarbon production. Norway, Saudi Arabia, Oman, and others are already pursuing these 21st century strategies. By taking the lead on them, Texas can supply the world with its energy needs and blaze a trail that reduces greenhouse gas emissions while building clean energy infrastructure. Second, Texas must counter Moscow's energy aspirations by adding zero emissions technologies to the state's energy portfolio. A recent report from Texas 2036 and the Center for Public Finance at Rice University's Baker Institute of Public Policy shows that hydrogen, carbon capture technology, and geothermal energy can satisfy the growing global demand for cleaner energy. Moreover, recent congressional legislation makes billions available for these emerging technologies. By taking a lead in these emerging industries that are part of an energy expansion, Texas and the U.S. will gain a significant competitive advantage over Russia and others in global energy markets, improving global sustainability in the process. Russia produces some of the world's dirtiest oil and gas. A recent analysis by RMI indicates that Russian gas creates at least twice as many emissions as Texas gas. And a scientific study using satellites detected Russia's leaky oil and gas systems, which can be seen from space and are estimated to emit 1 million tons of methane per year, 3 times more than the U.S. In fact, each ultra-emitter, over 25 tons of methane per hour, spotted spews as much carbon dioxide equivalent emissions in a year as 4 million cars, melting the permafrost along the pipelines. The world will face a significant impediment to achieving sustainable goals if Russia is allowed to move forward with its plans to meet the projected doubling of global energy demand by 2050 through its energy strategy for 2035. Their first major foray is a $140 billion Siberian mega project called Vostok, designed to export millions of tons of oil through the Arctic, skirting the North Pole. Russia's Faustian bargain is that climate change will melt sea ice and open the northern passage to their unrestricted energy exports. If the war in Ukraine has taught us anything, it's that Russia's energy hedge money will not bring peace. If Russia reclaims the energy mantle, price manipulation and supply embargoes may well follow. Russia has used these weapons against the EU and its former Soviet neighbors time and again. Given Russia's designs and methods, America's strategic energy race is the race of a lifetime, and Texas is uniquely positioned to lead the nation's counter to Russia's plans. Precisely how we do this is key. It is not enough to boycott Russian oil and gas imports and investments while the war rages. There is too much at stake to allow Russia to expand its energy dominance. Instead, the U.S. can double down on cleaner energy now. There's no place better than Texas to make the first move. Deborah Gordon is a senior principal at RMI and senior fellow at the Watson Institute for International and Public Affairs. Jeremy Mazur is a senior policy advisor at Texas 2036. This op-ed first ran in the Houston Chronicle.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, May 21st. Here's a tip. Think of a garden as its own room. By Debbie Rowland and Emmy Olmschneider, Master Gardeners. Scott Ogden and Laura Springer Ogden, Plant Driven Design, page 9 through 10. So get out there and garden, share the love. Have you ever stood in your yard and thought, I need to do something in here? Well, you can. When thinking about designing or changing your landscape or garden, it is helpful to think about the rooms in your house. Just as in a house you have a room to eat, a room to store cleaning supplies, a room to play, and a room for refuge, so too does a yard. What do you need from your yard? A place for your kids or grandkids to play? A place for your dogs? Flowers and veggies? What about a barbecuing area or a place to eat outside? Your garden should be a magical place, and it should have at least one little escape area. A table with a comfortable chair or a bench will invite you and your guests to sit and listen to the birds and watch the plants grow. Once you know what you want, you can move forward. Don't make your landscape too fussy. There is elegance in simplicity. In the best of all possible worlds, draw out your thoughts or designs on paper, a landscape plan. Think about where you want to plant your rooms, what you already have in your yard, and where are the sunny and shaded areas of your yard. That will help you decide on the shape and location of your beds or where you might want to sit. Hardscape, non-plant features are just as important as the plant you want to grow. And don't forget to plan for irrigation so your plants can thrive. Fencing is both for privacy and aesthetics. If you have a 6-foot fence, putting tall plants against it will brighten it up. You can always give your landscape a lift by adding tall hardscape. The idea is to lift your eye up. Tall metal sculptures or pillars create a striking element of surprise. In West Texas, we usually have access to rocks. A short, curved, stacked stone wall that outlines beds or walkways is an eye-catcher. Allow a 4-foot width for your walkways. There should be enough room for 2 people to walk side by side. Always have curves in your garden. It creates intrigue and will make people wonder what's around the next turn. You don't need a lot of space to achieve that. Lighting at night creates a mood and helps one get around. You can use solar lights, electrical lights, or even battery-powered lights in your garden. Some irrigation controllers can be partnered with lights so that they are on a timer also. Whatever kind of light you use, remember that light interferes with insect life cycles, so put lights on timers or use yellow bulbs. So, finally, plants. When planning, bear in mind we're in a stage 5 drought. There are a host of native plants that will help you with texture and color. Installing window boxes and containers are perfect for growing herbs. Large containers close to your grill give you fresh herbs for adding to meat and vegetables. It will be a feast for your eyes and your palate. If you like wreaths on your gates, buy or make them with plants that will grow in our climate. Using grasses and blooms that will grow here will blend better and be more pleasing to the eye. In the words of Scott Ogden and Lauren Springer Ogden in their book Plant Driven Design, Creating Gardens That Honor Plants, Place, and Spirit, the single most essential element in any garden is not some particular object, plant, or tool. What's vital is a gardener who loves it. Unfortunately, much of what is promoted as or called a garden in North America is nothing more than a landscape installation. Love has nothing to do with it. If you have questions, please call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. For more gardening information. Additional information is available at https://aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu and westtexasgardening.org.
Hello, this is Denisa, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram Dear Abby column for Friday, May 27th, 2022. Sister's display of greed is last straw for sibling. Dear Abby, my father died years ago at 90. For the last 20 years of his life, both my sisters shunned him because they disliked his second wife, who predeceased him. She had never been anything but kind to us all. They refused to speak to him, and when he was dying, announced that they wouldn't attend his funeral. When an aunt informed them that Dad had left over $1 million in cash and no will, they couldn't get here fast enough. They caused me major distress by falsely accusing me of trying to steal from them. I have never taken anything from my sisters. I made certain the money was equally distributed, then shut them out of my life. Family, to me, is synonymous with loyalty, love, and trust. Without it, we're just relations. I plan to never speak to them again. Am I wrong? Disgusted in Denver. Dear Disgusted, you are not wrong. Please accept my sympathy for the loss of your father. With relatives like your sisters, you don't need enemies. In a case like this, it is common sense to protect yourself. Keeping your distance will accomplish it nicely. Dear Abby, will you mention the problem of adult bullying in the workplace? The bullies are usually buddy-buddy with supervisors and get away with the harassment, which includes name-calling, ridiculing, and gossiping, which makes for a very uncomfortable work environment. This happens too often. Once bullied. Dear Bullied, sadly, you're right. It does happen too often. A way to stop it is first to tell the bully that you don't like it. Then start documenting the incidents, including the dates, times, and what was done. Take that information to your boss or supervisor and ask them to put a stop to it. If that doesn't help, take your concerns to HR. If HR doesn't stop what's going on, take the problem and your evidence to the EEOC. What you have described is a hostile work environment, which might be the basis of legal action. Dear Abby, I recently hosted a bridal shower for my daughter's soon-to-be sister-in-law. It was a lovely affair with delicious food and adorable decor. Everyone enjoyed themselves. After it was over, my daughter chided me for not giving a gift. I was dumbfounded, hurt, and more than a little angry. The cost of the shower, not including my time and labor, was well over what I would have spent on a gift. My daughter is angry with me now because I told her she was being rude and ridiculous. Should I apologize and get the couple an additional gift? I have hosted many such events and always thought the party was a gift. Annoyed in Albuquerque. Dear Annoyed, according to the Everything Wedding Shower book by Jennifer Jenkins, it is customary for the hostess to get the bride a gift for the shower, just like everyone else. However, I'm not sure I agree with Jennifer. After having expended the time, effort, and expense of planning and executing the shower, I really don't think an additional gift was necessary.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.